Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio this Christmas Day here in El Cajon at the East County Wellness Center. Today we have a very special guest, a celebrity who is famous around the world, known for his spirit of generosity. Welcome to the show, Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, Miriam.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, too. So how was your trip last night on Christmas Eve?
We had a treat after taking off from the North Pole. Let me tell you, Miriam, the northern lights are dazzling, and this new GPS system we installed helped Rudolph guide our sleigh through the night, especially through that London fog. And, oh, those no-fly zones in the Middle East can be a little hairy.
Oh, I bet they can. So, Santa, it sounds like you've gone high-tech. Any more memorable moments from last night?
Well, we did have one new navigation issue this year. When we reached Hollywood, there were drones buzzing all around us. You know, those paparazzi trying to get a famous photo of Santa. So one drone got a little too close. Prancer had to kick it right out of the way. Luckily, those hooves of hers are pretty strong.
Good for Prancer.
Yes, and we were flying over here locally in East County. We certainly saw some changes.
Like what?
Dodging those wind turbines out in the desert and flying over that shooting range at Covert Canyon got a little dicey. All that gunfire sure spooked some of my reindeer.
Oh, dear.
But luckily, Rudolph is a veteran at these flights and brought us safely in for our final destination this year here in San Diego.
Well, we are certainly glad that you made it here, Santa. Now, can you tell us what some of our local leaders here in San Diego County had on their Christmas wish list this year?
Oh, well, Mario Falconer over there wanted a new stadium for his Chargers, but the only trouble is Spanos wants the same thing, but up in Carson.
Uh-oh. Well, how do you resolve that when you have two big kids who both want the same toy and it's one of a kind?
Miriam, that's why I make my list and check it twice, looking to see who's naughty and nice. Mr. Spanos has been a little naughty trying to steal the Chargers away from San Diego.
He certainly has. Go Bolts! So, what about our supervisor, Diane Jacob? What did she ask you for, Santa?
Well, she wanted some shiny new fire trucks for the county fire authority. The elves were really working overtime to get those ready for Christmas morning.
Well, I certainly hope that they got those done. What about our local mayors right here in East County?
Well, Mayor Vopel in Santee wanted me to take all of the homeless people in his city back to the North Pole with me. Instead, I gave them some sleeping bags and some warm tea.
Good for you. Very thoughtful, Santa.
Yes, you know, it's the Merry Christmas spirit. And over in El Cajon, Mayor Wells asked for a good contractor to fix up that old East County Performing Arts Center. He wants to get it reopened for the community there. Ho, ho, ho.
Good for him. So for all the arts fans out here, Santa, did you deliver on that one?
Let's just say you should be hearing the Hallelujah chorus there next Christmas.
Hallelujah. At the national level, what about Donald Trump, who wants to deport so many people?
Well, you know, the Christmas spirit is all about giving and not taking things away, and this Mr. Trump reminds me of another wealthy fellow on my list some years ago, an old Englishman,
Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yes, that's him. Scrooge just didn't get it. Not even after I left him a whole stocking full of coal. Then there's a writer here, Mr. Dickens. Well, he gave me an idea for a gift for Mr. Scrooge, or rather, three of them. Ghosts of Christmas Present, Past, and Future.
Wow, and I thought that was just fiction. So, are you saying there might be visits for the Donald from those ghosts of Christmas past, present, and yet to come?
No comment on that one, Miriam.
Okay, we'll respect that one, Santa. What about the other candidates running for president?
Well, there's the Bush kid there, Jeb. He wants a super PAC. Marco Rubio wants that big Latino turnout in the vote, and Ben Carson, he really wants Obamacare repealed.
What about the Democrats?
Well, Hillary there, she wants a new hard drive, and Bernie wants a new Congress.
Now, I hear that Martin Eder, who's the founder of this radio station, KNSJ, that he asked you for world peace.
Oh, he sure did. He's a good little boy. I wish I could make that one come true, but alas, I'm no magician.
What are the ground rules, anyway?
Well, there's a few rules about this whole Christmas thing. Some things I even Santa can't do. Up at our North Pole factory, we make toys to make good girls' and boys' dreams come true. But we can't end wars. Only when there's kindness in people's hearts can goodness banish evil.
I see. Well, thanks for the reality check on that one. Back to East County here. I hear that you and Mrs. Claus have had a very busy season in East County this holiday season.
Oh, you do have some reliable sources there. It's true. We started our season right here in the Mother Goose Parade, then cruised out into Santee Lakes and rode into Alpine on a fire truck in the Parade of Lights. Later, we parked the reindeer over at the Grossmont Center while the missus got a pedicure, and I stopped off for a peppermint mocha at the Starbucks.
Mm.
And, oh man, that new cup is pretty boring. And we let those elves run wild at Chuck E. Cheese for a while there, too.
Shh, elves, now quiet down out there.
Those elves love their pizza, especially that cheesy, chucky, mousy pizza.
Well, it sounds like they're still having a good time. Now, Santa, I see that you and the elves are all decked out in shorts and Hawaiian shirts today. What made you decide to make San Diego your final stop on this year's delivery schedule?
It gets pretty chilly up there in the North Pole, Miriam. San Diego's like paradise. I promised the elves a day at the beach before we head home, but that surf is really big this year.
Well, I'm glad you're all getting some fun in the sun out here. On a more serious note, what do you say to all of those Santa skeptics out there? You know, they're kind of like the climate change skeptics, the ones who just don't believe in you or anything else.
Miriam, as a New York editor once famously told a dear young girl named Virginia, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Oh, Santa exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see.
Wise words indeed, Santa. So tell me, do you ever think about retiring? Are you training someone to someday fill your shoes or boots or, well, at the moment, flip-flops?
To quote that New York editor again, Santa lives, and he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. Ho, ho, ho.
I'm sure the children and the young at heart are all happy to hear that, Santa, but I'm afraid we're out of time, and whoop, I hear those sleigh bells jingling. It sounds like your ride has arrived up on the rooftop. Santa, thanks so much for joining us here today, along with all of your elves. I'm going to give you the last word this Christmas Day. Is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners on KNSJ?
Well, we can all tell them together, along with your staff and my staff, my elves, and we can all share some holiday spirit.
Merry Christmas to all,
and to all a good night.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
'Tis the night before Christmas, and all across East County, not a creature is stirring from Borrego to El Monte. The stockings are hung by the chimneys with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon will be there. From Verona to Ramona, Hacumpa to Hamul, as East County residents celebrate the Yule, the weather is sunny with just a slight breeze, while much of our nation shivers in a freeze. And from their computers amid holiday dishes, our listeners have sent Santa their holiday wishes. As El Nino rings in the new year with holiday bells, rural residents hope rainfall will soon fill their wells. Over in El Cajon, loyal arts fans are hoping the Performing Arts Center will soon reopen. Local refugees here from the Middle East want Santa to please bring our planet world peace. Meanwhile, in Lakeside, residents ask help divine to stop El Monte Valley from becoming a sand mine. In La Mesa's downtown, where construction is done, merchants want shoppers to return, everyone. Parents in Alpine want a judge to soon rule that Grossmont must fund the long-promised high school. In Hamul, where completion of a casino draws near, the tribe hopes the new year brings lots of good cheer. Environmentalist voices are raised in a chorus asking Santa to protect Cleveland National Forest. Covert Canyon's neighbors, meanwhile, are rooting for Santa to please put a stop to that shooting. Out in the vineyards from valleys to mountaintops, winery owners are asking for bountiful crops. Julian's farmers want more apples to grow so all the town's pie makers can be rolling in dough. At East County's Native American reservations, tribes seek good fortune for all sovereign nations. Way out in Descanso, KNSJ's engineer wants a strong and clear signal for all of next year. San Diego's mayor has snuggled in his bed while visions of a new football team dance in his head. Atop Mount Laguna, lodge guests in nightcaps had just settled down for a long winter's nap When out o'er the lodge there arose such a clatter, they sprang from their beds to see what was the matter. Away to the windows they flew like a flash, and I jumped on my hoverboard and out I did dash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to our wondering eyes should appear but a magical sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. Beside Golden Eagles his reindeer they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the mountain, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before Santa Anna winds fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the mountaintop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, guests heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As they drew in their heads and were turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were still tarnished with chariot fire soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a backpacker opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. An Indian peace pipe he held tight in his teeth, and its smoke encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like Julian apple jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. So I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a red cowboy hat on his head soon gave folks to know they had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a twerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But all heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas, East County, and to all a good night." And now we hope our readers will enjoy this excerpt from a U.S. Army Band Christmas concert back in 2009. It's got a little bit of country in it for our East County listeners.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is Helen Ofield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society bringing you the sounds of history. It's the holiday season in warm, sunny East County. As we count our blessings, we can't help but think of those who also walked beneath that same benevolent sun years ago, in somewhat less happy circumstances. One such person was Dr. Eben McGregor, one of very few doctors in East County in the 1930s, and the only game in town in Lemon Grove. Here are his words, written on Christmas Day, 1956, nearly 60 years ago. I awakened this morning thinking of my early days in Lemon Grove and of the dusty but very pretty little town as I first saw it. Oh, little town of Lemon Grove, thousands of lemon trees, nearly everyone had a horse. Lots of people had asthma and had come here for the good climate. I thought of S.D. Eckler on Central Avenue, who came here with $30,000 and sunk it into land that was ruined by the Mattoon Act in the 1930s. Eckler started a huge rabbit ranch. Poor man took credit in the 30s so people could have rabbit stew. I recalled Dr. Charles Good, the dentist, with a big citrus ranch and a nice house, also on Central Avenue. He fixed your teeth for a dollar in the 1930s. And good old Ed Fells, of the Fells Naphtha soap fortune. Not that he had any of that money. He taught me lobster fishing, completely illegal, and the ocean was cold in winter. I thought of that awful segregation case the school board started when they built the Mexican school, and then the Mexicans went on strike at the packing house. How the school board thereafter began to eliminate the Mexicans from the payroll. People like Andy Anderson, good people, Art Ahrens, Reverend Kurtz, and Herman Przybylski were part of that mess. Herman Przybylski had come here from Poland. He had a big citrus ranch and horses. He thought I was a communist because I had run for office on the Democratic ticket. I didn't know the meaning of the word communist in those days. But Herman had me investigated, and I will never forget when he came over and told me I was okay. We lived across the street from each other, for Pete's sake. I was his doctor, and no communist either. That reminded me of Herman's boy, Frank, who had terrible asthma and was good friends with the adopted son of Colonel and Mrs. Bryan, who lived in the big showplace where Ambassador Hayes, later President Hayes, had visited. The adopted son was always tippling in the parlor and helping himself to the brandy during tea parties. But most of all, I remember Tony Sonka. He, who ran the famous general store next door to my home and medical office on Main Street, I remember saying to Tony, "Do you remember that truck that came through Lemon Grove on Christmas with flour and potatoes and somebody's old clothes and other stuff? It was all for the needy. You loaned us a little house to store the clothes. The Depression had struck so hard. I had several thousand patients who had no money. One month I worked from dawn to dusk 7 days a week, and I took in $86 in cash. Tony, you fed them, and I tried to keep them alive." Dear listeners, those were the words of Dr. Eben McGregor, who went on to lead the Veterans Administration for President Franklin Roosevelt in World War II. Dr. McGregor's house was designed by the great Alberto Traganza, also a Lemon Grove resident. That was in 1932, but it took 4 years to build because the doctor had no money, because his patients had no money. Patients with construction skills worked off their bills in sweat equity on the good doctor's house. It still stands today on Main Street, an important historic site. For the Sounds of History, I'm Helen Ofield.
Hello, my name is David Dickens, David Charles Dickens to be exact. I want to talk to you today, audience, about the links between me and Charles Dickens and the writers that have become in our family. According to my late grandfather, Charles Elmer Dickens, who died in the summer of 1992, prior to departing, I was told I am related to Charles Dickens, one of our greatest authors of all time, and I am four generations down, so a great, 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 great grandfather right down the family tree. I'm a current freelancer for East County Magazine, also come from another family member, my father, Bill Dickens, who currently owns EastCountySports.com, has been covering sports locally in East County for over 43 years. I'm going to speak about Charles Dickens today and one of his finest novels, A Christmas Carol, that was written in December of 1843. Not only is this a great selection for the season, but also referring to Dickens' early childhood, humiliating experiences, his sympathy for the poor folks, and great fairy tales he was read as a child. The lesson that should be learned from this particular novel is how greed and the love of money can lead to destruction, selfishness. But in the end, after visits from the Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future spirits from the novel, Ebenezer Scrooge learns to appreciate life. If we as human beings have an abundance of wealth, it should be shared with the less fortunate. The love of human beings far outweighs the gift of wealth. Dickens' humiliating experiences are not specifically indicated in this novel. However, his conflicting feelings for his father as a result of these experiences are responsible for the double personality of the novel's protagonist, Ebenezer Scrooge. In 1824, Dickens' father, John, was hauled off to prison at the Marshalsea, and Charles, 12 at the time, only 12, was forced to stay at inns nearby, pawn off his great book collection, and drop out of school, and take up employment at a blacking factory. Charles had a deep sense of etiquette and intellect, and was very uncomfortable in the factory atmosphere and the co-workers who worked directly with him. His co-workers referred to him as the young gentleman. Charles' father was released after 3 months in confinement. His father made him return to the factory instead of going back into school, which obviously was a mistake, and it only angered and humiliated Charles even further. Charles basically says his happy life went on to be nothing but anguish and pain. These disturbances cause many psychological issues and haunting memories, as Charles goes on. Charles both loved and despised his father. These psychological issues assisted in creating the two different personalities of Ebenezer Scrooge, a cold, stingy, greedy individual, and on the other personality, sociable generosity and goodwill toward all men was his outlook, an angel type of man. Another inspiration was early in his childhood that he observed the lives of men, women, and children in the most poverty-stricken areas of London and witnessed the social injustices they suffered. So basically, he went on after writing this novel, and he actually, years later, he took it to another level and actually was reading it live on stage, which definitely got a great following. And once he departed, of course, we also know quite a few people went on to create A Christmas Carol movie. I believe the most recent one that everybody has probably seen, the animated version of A Christmas Carol starring Jim Carrey, which is definitely something to see, but it's more a comedic look into the actual novel, which that's not the direction that Charles Dickens was really wanting you to understand. And what I would like you folks in the audience to get from this really is, let's enjoy ourselves as a family and have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and not be all about the gifts and what we could and could not afford this year. Just the warm hearts, getting together and loving each other. I leave you with that. And this is David Charles Dickens signing off. And again, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year on behalf of East County Magazine.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Next up, we have a very special treat for you, listeners. A complete half-hour performance by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra of Antonio Vivaldi's Gloria in D. Vivaldi composed his Gloria in Venice around 1715. It was originally written for the choir at a home for girls, actually the illegitimate daughters of Venetian noblemen and their mistresses. Vivaldi's most famous choral piece presents the Gloria in 12 sections in Latin, starting with a joyful opening chorus. Vivaldi, though successful in his career, squandered his wealth, and after his death was buried in a pauper's grave. His gloria was forgotten for the next 200 years, until it was found among a pile of long-forgotten manuscripts by Vivaldi in the 1920s. But it wasn't until 1957 that the original and now famous version was published and had its first performance at a Baroque choral music festival in New York. We hope you'll enjoy this very special recording of Vivaldi's Gloria, performed by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra, and dedicated into the public domain so that everyone can enjoy this marvelous music.
Thank you. memories of Christmas past in Acapulco. When growing up, every December my dad drove us to Acapulco for the winter holiday. It was great to leave Mexico City for those 2 weeks. We kids always had a lot of fun. Suffice it to say, Acapulco was not the tourist center it has become. As we used to joke, you could still drive in the city. The hotel we stayed up was called Hotel Papagayo, and it has not been there for a few decades. The rooms were small and cozy, and it sat on a large property where we kids could go get lost and even play with deer that lived on the property. After the morning at the beach across the Costera Miguel Alemán at Hornitos Beach. These days, it is a working-class beach. It had the softest and finest sand I have ever experienced, and the waves were quite small, therefore safe for children to play in the water. The palapas, none brought their own umbrellas, were rented out, and you could eat fish and coconut right on the beach. But it was a Christmas dinner that was different. Given we are Jewish, it was a different affair from the fun and games of Hanukkah, where it was far less formal. The hotel had an open-air eating hall, which was decked with lights and deer, not reindeer. Rudolph was missing, and the biggest Christmas tree you have ever seen. I was 7 or 8 at the time, so I suppose any tree would be huge. Yet this was a pine tree in an area of Mexico known as Tierra Caliente, hot land, where palm trees are common, as well as other tropical plants. This tree was probably brought from near Mexico City, where pine trees are common due to the elevation. There is one more important detail. There were no gifts under the tree. The music leading to the affair was the classic posada, and the meal itself was festive, with turkey and rice and vegetables. There was also dessert, usually yellow cake or flan. For those who wanted it, there was salted cod, Veracruzana style, which is a tomato-based sauce, hot peppers, and vegetables. We never ordered it out of fear that the fish was still salty. When it comes out of a barrel, the dried-out husk is covered in a thick crust of salt and fully dehydrated. There were also Mexican candies to share, some made out of coconuts, which are very common in Acapulco, others made out of tamarind paste with salt and chili. We kids loved them, and we always took some home when the holiday was over, and we went back to school on January 2nd. Why, you might ask, there were no presents under the tree? In Mexico, like many other countries, that was the first day of Advent that ended on January 6th, when the three wise men came to give the gifts at the manger to baby Jesus. Of course, we did not expect gifts of clothes, sometimes given for Christmas, or for that matter, toys for the wise men day. But in a way, those dinners, somewhat formal for a tropical area, are full of good memories. It was a time we did look forward to. In the spirit of the season, the Mexican wish is Feliz Navidad y Próspero Año Nuevo. Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. This is Nadine Abbott for KNSJ in Descanso and East County Magazine.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble. April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.